automatic
it's
one.
None of their business. It's none of their business what kind
so
of guy.
So back in the 1930s when they outlawed Tommy guns.
The money, and they won't have anything over you anymore.
One down our throat. And how about worldwide gun
restrictions? Who swore an oath to do just that?
In the federal constitution, you would expect them to disobey that order. How would that work?
That's correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the September 12th edition of the Sheriff Mac Show. Wow, how about a letter from a congressman to the CSPOA? How about learning how to withhold voluntary funding from bureaucrats and criminals who spend it, in my opinion, unconstitutionally? That's my opinion, to which I'm entitled. How about you and I finding out what's going on the road from the good Sheriff Richard Mac? Where he's been going, what's been happening, and a lot more. It's all coming up in mere seconds on the Sheriff Mac Show and Liberty Roundtable Live from Brighty on TV.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
All right. Well, we are so excited and thankful to the Lord for Brighteon. We are so excited for what Mike Adams and his team have put together to give us a voice that can speak freely without being censored and without being taken down from our platform and all those kind of things. Thank you for standing up for freedom. Thank you for letting people have the ability to speak freely in our nation. Thank you so much, and around the world. God bless you. We love you.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Hello, I'm Anna Kane with The Flame.
And I'm Nicole Orozco with The Flame.
And we just want to thank Brighteon for having us on their show. And we want to encourage everybody to break out of the movable middle, go to theflameusa.com, get your subscription to our fastest growing newspaper. And thank you, Mike Adams, for having us.
Thank you, Mike Adams, for having us. We love you.
Man, I gotta tell you something. Thank God for Brighteon TV. For the first time in my life, I can say what I want and nobody tells me to shut up. God bless Mike Adams.
Hey, Dr. John Diamond here. I was sitting at my house and during COVID, the Lord told me to start a show. I had no idea what to do or where to go, and then I got the call from Brighteon. So Mike Adams, appreciate you. You made me the man I am today. God bless.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Hey, Scott McKay here, Patriot Street Fighter. Just got done doing an
As you know, my fellow Americans, it's a target-rich environment at the CSPOA, as it is always. You know, you're right to keep and bear arms under assault everywhere. And, of course, you know the CSPOA, a lead role position for the last, 20 years since Richard Mack beat Bill Clinton? Yeah, 25 years plus. The CSPOA has been standing for your right to keep and bear arms. It started with Richard himself. As he beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, it continued on through his books, From My Cold Dead Fingers, etc. And ladies and gentlemen, now in New Mexico, the governor has gone psychotic. We'll get to that as the Sheriff Mac Show unfolds. But first, the good sheriff's in the house. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam. It's great to be with you and the Brighteon TV audience this beautiful Tuesday morning. And it is a beautiful morning here in Arizona.
Amen to that. And you've got a good quote. Hopefully it relates to your right to keep and bear arms, huh?
Well, it would, Sam. But my quote today is dedicated to the memory and work and sacrifice and destruction of 9/11/2001. And so my morning quote that I usually give about the Supreme Court decision is not going to happen. My dedication this morning is to the people of 9/11, 22 years ago, and the day that I was supposed to be there, a day that I was supposed to be in New York, but didn't go because my wife made me go to our niece's wedding. I really didn't want to go to that wedding. It was a day that was very touching to me, something that I've played over and over in my mind, what I would have done had I been there that day, because I was actually supposed to be there at a gun show that weekend. And then I was going to stay an extra couple of days with my son, Jimmy, in New York City. We had our hotel and everything all ready to go. It was something I have to say, Sam. Obviously, lest we forget. I'm not talking about anything else on the side or conspiracy theories or anything else. A lot of people died that day. And what bothers me today is that first responders are still dying at an alarming rate, and the government simply doesn't do anything about it. But this is a day of remembrance and mourning, and also something that we've got to learn from history, that we don't ever allow something like this to happen in America again. Never again.
Amen to that. It's a day of remembrance. It's also a day that we need government accountability. We need to always highlight that, because we don't have the truth on 9/11. Set aside conspiracies. We know the government hasn't told us the truth. The cancers that the first responders are getting and everything else doesn't square with what we've been told about that day whatsoever. Giuliani and others should come clean, that's for sure. The other thing I want to really mention, though, is this. What if those members who were on the planes had the right to keep and bear arms, and that wasn't stripped from them due to the federal government via aviation? Might they have stopped those criminals, and the pilots could have landed those planes safely, and a whole lot more? You got to wonder that, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And you, the obvious answer is one person, just one person with a gun. And yes, now I've heard they don't, they shouldn't announce it, but I've heard that most cockpits are armed now. And one person with a gun could have stopped every bit of that, whether it was, you know, five or six, seven, eight guys. One person with a gun can control all of that. It's a sad commentary for our country and for how we think we're safer, like this psychotic governor in New Mexico, that somehow we're safer if we take guns away from law-abiding citizens and the Minutemen of America, Americans, citizens. And it really bothers me that we think that we've been brainwashed into believing that you're safer without a gun. I don't care if it's a plane or a bus or a gymnasium. It doesn't matter where you are. All of us are safer when a law-abiding citizen is in possession of a gun.
And that relates to our guest last week, Mr. or Dr. John Lott as well, highlighting that reality check, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to bring that up on 9/11 because, look, your right to keep and bear arms is a God-given inalienable right. It's the right of self-defense, and guns are just one of the greatest ways to do that. It isn't really about guns. It's about your right of safety and self-defense. And I submit to you that if the good guys had a gun on those fateful planes, they wouldn't have had to say, let's roll and try to do whatever they could to, you know, whatever the cockpit and this and that and whatever. They could have used a gun and stopped criminals from abusing them. That's for sure. We'll get back to the gun issue in mere seconds. We have a guest, though, and I like this. How about learning to withhold voluntary funding from out-of-control federal agencies engaging in criminal activity, Sheriff?
Sam, I will tell you, our next guest I've known for a long time, and I will tell you there's very few people in the United States of America and perhaps in the world who I want to be successful more than this man. I really hope that his cause, that his teachings are successful and that they penetrate the core of America and that he is very successful. His name is Paymon. I don't know how to say his last name very good. I never have, even though I've said it numerous times. Anyway, I'm sorry, Payman, but I don't say your last name very good, and I apologize for that. But welcome to the Sheriff Mac Show. You are a dear friend, and thanks for being here.
Mac, it's a great honor.
Say your
to
last
be
name
you again. Motahede, but everybody calls me Payman, like Arnold. You say Arnold, you say Payman, it's me. That's all I got.
And by the way, sir, for a proper introduction, ladies and gentlemen, Paymon is the president and founder of Freedom Law School, freedomlawschool.org, to learn more. Sheriff?
Yes, he is. And I've attended some of his classes, and I've spoken at some of his seminars. And again, Paymon, there's hardly anybody in America who I hope is not more successful than you are. I pray for your success, and I hope that you are. And believe me, I want the American people to hear from you today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what is your big pitch? What is your big thesis that can happen? I mean, Sam just said something about how we shouldn't be funding the out of control spending or just the out of control nature of the federal government. And yet we keep paying for it all. And what is your message to the American people regarding all of that?
Well, first, Richard, allow me to tell your audience a little bit about my background, because that plays into this whole thing, in that I came from Iran in a Jewish family. And where my dad talked to his friends about politics when I was a child, and I sat next to him listening. And there, if you criticize the government, the king of Iran, the Shah, you could be kidnapped anytime, thrown in prison, who knows for how long, no one knows where you're at, tortured, maybe even summary execution. And I came to America at age 14 in 1977 to land of the free, home of the brave, so I was told. And I found myself in a land of the meek and the indentured slaves. And I said, wow, this is the most wonderful country on earth. This is where I saw the Westerns on TV, where people could do whatever they wanted to do as long as you do not violate others' rights, as long as you keep your agreements with other people. It's that simple, right? So I saw things were wrong, and I got involved in the Libertarian Party back in the late 80s when I became a U.S. citizen. And back in 1992, as an activist, I was putting meetings together it felt to me like they were meet, eat, and retreat meetings. I brought speakers to talk about the problems, but we got to elect good people in office, but that doesn't seem to happen often enough. Because we don't have the funding to elect good people that represent us, like former Congressman Ron Paul of Texas. There are people like Ron Paul all over this country running for office that they cannot get the funding to represent us. That way there will be no deep state. They can dismantle it through the legislature. So back in 92, when I attended a meeting that there's no law requiring the average American to file income tax, I thought, well, there's a solution right there. We don't have to, you know, pay this money. So why don't we use the money to better our own lives right now, our families right now, and take a part of that and fund the election of good libertarian, God, freedom-loving people like Ron Paul. So since for 30 years, I've not filed and paid $1 of income tax, and I've teach Americans to do the same thing for over 30 years. And now that there's about 80 million non-filers, according to the IRS's own numbers, it's the time.
Aren't you afraid to make that announcement publicly like that? Aren't you afraid of the IRS?
No. Why should I be afraid of them? They work for us. That's a wonderful thing, Richard, about American system of government, is that they are our public servants. They serve us. That makes us the masters. The problem is, Richard, is that we've been duped. We've been deliberately non-educated about the foundations of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, our system of laws, so we can assert and defend ourselves against out-of-control government agencies. They have attacked me for well over 27 years, the IRS, and I beat them again and again in their own federal tax court and federal district courts.
Haven't paid taxes for 30 years, right?
Income 25? Taxes, yes.
Yeah, income
not
tax.
Filed or paid over 30 years.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, and during that time, you've never gone to jail. You've never been attacked. I think they tried to get you one time, but other than that, they pretty much have left you alone the entire time.
Well, no, they didn't leave me alone. They don't dare to indict me like they indict Donald Trump and January 6th was because they know I'll beat him in court. So they don't come after me that way with the jury. Okay. What they do try to do is to harass me with their own judges or their own agents. Like one time in 2009, they threw at me over $600,000 of taxes for 13 years. And after 2 year battle, I had their own IRS appeals and the tax court judge zeroed all of it out. They had me under investigation as an abusive tax shelter promoter in 2003. And after 13 years in 2016, they finally closed that investigation. So no, I've been on the radar all right, you know, but yeah. They just, if you know the law better than they do, which you should know, you know, because the laws are available online. This is the Internal Revenue Code, the thick gobbledygook that they go through, okay? But this whole thing is available online for free. And I got the relevant parts at the end that define things, the key parts, already on my website at freedomlawschool.org, how they use deception to sucker us into paying them a tax we never owed, to fund our own enemies in DOJ, FBI, CIA that are enslaving and destroying us.
Yeah, That's one of the parts I find amazing. Sam, what about you there?
Well, my response to this is very interesting. How do you learn the tactics to make sure that you're in the safe zone? Like a lot of people literally get indicted. Look at Donald Trump and everything else. How do we get Donald to listen to Paymon?
Well, if you can get me in front of Donald, I'll educate him. But the thing is that we just got to follow the law, number one. I am a stickler for the law. So for that reason, I always start everybody with number one, learn from government's official legal websites, the IRS, the U.S. Treasury regulations, the U.S. House of Representatives that follow, that publish the laws, and Supreme Court. Those are the only sources I go with, not some lawyer or CPA opinion that could be wrong. So by following the law, Sam, according to government's own official legal websites, we do it right. And then what we do, Richard, is we write the lawmakers who actually own the IRS. We write our lawmakers, the two U.S. senators and our House member, and we tell them, look, here's the law as found on government's official legal websites, quoted and attached. If I'm wrong, let me know, and I will gladly pay my fair share of taxes. I'm not hiding. I'm not trying to cheat. Show me where I'm wrong, but they don't. So we know, obviously, we are right.
And here's my opinion about this, Paymon, that I think is really critical to understand. They have learned to successfully prosecute people who make mistakes, people who don't read the code, read the details, and understand. And they use that to make you believe and to put the rest of the nation in fear. What they don't do is touch cases like yours that they know they're going to lose, setting a precedent. That's what they don't want, is that precedent reality check to become mainstream, right?
Exactly. In fact, one of my most famous students is a good friend of Richard and I, Joseph Bannister. He was a former IRS gun-carrying special agent. And he came out in 1999 exposing IRS fraud, and the government didn't like that. Ooh, he was such a thorn on their side. So out of desperation, they charged him with some tax crimes. They tried to hook him with somebody else. And it failed. Didn't work, and the jury acquitted him. And that was a black eye for the IRS that, oh my gosh, you know, we try to get this guy. Instead, we hand him a victory. And that is why when you've done your homework like I've done with these petitions to Congress that lays out your position that you want to follow the law as found on government's official legal websites, there's no way they're going to want to put you in prison, let you take that petition copy to the jury and say, look, I'm trying to follow the law. Read it for yourself. So they will leave you alone and go after patriot mythology nonsense.
Like, but let me be clear here. You provide the training for anybody who wants to do the right thing, who wants to follow the law. You train them, and they can come to you and go to your website, and they can get all the training they need. Is that correct?
For free at freedomlawschool.org. There are seven steps. You know, the first five steps are for free. Anybody can do it on their own. And I implore everybody, write your congressman these petitions. It's your right. It's your duty to ask them. They are supposed to represent us, every one of us. They're the closest part of the government to us. So why don't we talk to them? I mean, this is the highest form of free speech, is political free speech, to write our congressman about government corruption and clean it up. So it's all there at freedomlawschool.org. Anybody wants to do it, we implore them to do it.
And the steps are very simple too. Do you want to quickly highlight the steps, Paymon?
Sure. The step one is, as I said, follow the law, number one, foremost. What they've done is they made us believe that life-saving gender affirming care means caring for your gender. But what it really is, by their definition, truly is chemical and physical mutilation and castration. They use words that we assume it's one thing, but actually means another. So what they've done, they use the term United States, individual income tax. It's not the 50 states. It's the District of Columbia, where the federal government is sovereign. It's their income tax. So that's one, to recognize that fact. Number two, Sam, is that whenever we sign a 1040 income tax confession form, we give up our right to trial, right to due process. We give it up because we sign under oath without a trial that we owe the IRS the money. So now they can take our bank account. They can say you lied on the form that you signed under oath. When you don't sign the form, you're free. You literally put the rope around your neck, falsely being brainwashed to believe it's a safe thing to do. If you're like always, take the jabs, the vaccines, sign a 1040 form. But that's the very thing that gets you in trouble, gives them the power. So that's step two, is recognizing that. Step three, Sam, is people realizing that the IRS is the Wizard of Oz that the media created. The same media that gave us the Trump-Russia conspiracy hoax, you know, that gave us all the lies about Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The same ones for decades tell us IRS is God and will strike you dead if you don't file and pay your fair share of taxes. But the truth is, according to IRS, there's about 80 million non-filers, and that's one out of three people. One out of three people do not file 1040s in America.
Well, so realize, Payman, I apologize. Payman, we've only got a minute left, and we've got other things, the second half that we've got to get to. So you've got about 40 seconds to make your final spiel to the American people. So say whatever you want to say, and make sure you give your website.
Folks, the time is short. We got to take back this America before they take total control of the communist conspiracy, control of the states in America. And it will be, this is going to be critical, that we got to act now. The hour is late, but better late than never.
Go, ladies and gentlemen, learn to withhold voluntary funding from the out-of-control federal agencies engaging in criminal activity. You can contribute to the fact that you restore freedom, prosperity for yourself, your family, and America. FreedomLawSchool.org. Check it out. That's FreedomLawSchool.org on The Sheriff Mac Show from Brighteon TV.
Hey, Scott McKay here, Patriot Street Fighter. Just got done doing an interview here on Brighteon TV. I recommend anybody who does go to any podcast, go look for Brighteon. Brighteon does amazing work out there in the world. Of course, Mike Adams, there's nobody that comes in ahead of Mike Adams. Everybody else to me is second place, because he's put together an unbelievable operation. And what he's doing to deliver his victories for humanity, business, otherwise, nutrition, supplementation, research, you're not going to find a better platform and better people that are on this platform bringing you the best in news. So make sure today you check out Brighteon TV, brighteon.tv.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We got a bunch of barn burner news on the Sheriff Mac Show today. The Southern Poverty Law Center, as you know, has been attacking us relentlessly. Fraudulent, dishonest claims. You all know that, right? But anyway, here's the latest on the Southern Poverty Law Center. Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, lawyer, his name is Thomas Jurgens. He was arrested in Atlanta and charged with domestic terrorism. Well, that's nothing new. That happened back in March, Sheriff Mack.
Yes.
Over 60, what they call Cop City protesters, got arrested. And it turns out now they filed racketeering charges against them. I don't know if you know that. It's gone to the racketeering now. and now they say 61 were indicted, not just 60, 61 for racketeering. And Thomas Jurgen tried to claim he was just there to observe for the Southern Poverty Law Center. So they said, please dismiss Thomas. The judge said, are you kidding me? This is terrorism and racketeering charges. And Thomas, that attorney, was in the thick of it. Yeah. So bottom line is Thomas Jurgen of the Southern Poverty Law Center up on terrorism and racketeering charges, Sheriff, while they complain that you and I are lawless.
If that isn't the epitome of the epitome of Southern Poverty Law Center hypocrisy and their subterfuge, they're always trying to do stuff like that. Now they got caught. Oh, don't charge us. Go charge Sheriff Mack and Sam Bushman. Don't charge him. He's a lawyer. He was just watching. Well, we're watching you. Okay.
That's exactly right. And the judge says, no, he's included. Now, the last interesting thing about this, you and I said, look, they have a conspiracy plan, these left-wing wacko terrorists and everything else. And they said, oh, no, you guys are crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, here's the latest statistic on this. Out of the 61 defendants, Sheriff, who have been indicted, only 13 of them are from Georgia. So my question is, without a conspiracy reach out, how do they get all those 48 extra guys to roll into Georgia for this terrorist slash racketeering attack and charge and everything else? 48 of them aren't even from the state of Georgia, including the Southern Poverty Law Center attorney.
Yeah, of course, they're getting all their buddies from all over the country to go in there and do these things. They do their little hit and run. And they are behind a lot of violence and a lot of these types of protests that are not just protests. They're not peaceful protests. They're doing anything and everything they can to foment violence. And this is the SPLC. And yet they say they're the self-appointed watchdog of hate groups. They're the biggest hate group in America.
Amen to that. All right, moving on, because we got so many topics today. Now it turns out the Republicans in Wisconsin State Senate appear to be poised to fire their election commission's administrator. Her name is Megan Wolf. This week, that's according to, by the way, a report in the Washington Examiner. Why are they going to fire her? Because every time she says there's no election integrity issues, every time they dig into it, they're convinced that there are election problems from 2020. They're going to fire her so they can get to the bottom of it, Sheriff. Isn't that interesting? When we've been banging on the election fraud tort for quite a while, they claim there's nothing to our claims, but now they're going to fire this lead lady, Megan Wolf, from the election commission because they're convinced that she's covering it all up, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'm convinced she did too, because it happened in just about every state, especially the swing states, and Wisconsin was one of the swing states. Sam, there is no way that somebody, just statistically speaking, in every swing state, of which there were seven, that they are ahead by hundreds of thousands of votes in every one of them, 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 votes. Then, unprecedented, they stop the counting, they turn off the machines, they take a break, go take a nap, whatever, have some breakfast. And this is like at 2 or 3 in the morning, they stop the counting in all of these states. And then they come back and the numbers are switched. And it's completely turned around in every single state. There's no way, Sam, absolutely no way. And at that point, as Wayne Allen Root told us at our press conference over a year ago, he said, statistically speaking, at that point, Donald Trump had a 90% chance of winning the election before they shut down. 90%. And then it just turned around miraculously. And there's no problem here. There's nobody behind the curtain. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. There was no election fraud and nobody was covering up anything. Well, they were, they did. And now somebody's taking action again. And this should still be investigated by every sheriff in the country.
Other than that, it's not so bad, Sheriff. Anyway, good news all over the place. The next incredible piece of good news we have is a letter that got written to the good sheriff. He's got the details.
Well, Sam, I spoke and did a seminar in Murphy, North Carolina, and there were several sheriffs there, I think five total. And then there were other public officials there, totaling about 30. And it was a great event. It was very well attended. Other people came, two people from the press. And it was a powerful, powerful seminar. It started at 9 in the morning and went till about 4 o'clock in the evening. And the good people there in Murphy, North Carolina were just wonderful. And the people that organized it were wonderful. We've made some very good friends. But Sheriff Dustin Smith, who is the sheriff of Cherokee County, he was the co-sponsor, and he invited other sheriffs to attend. It was powerful. It was meaningful. It was nation-changing because we had some people stand up there that said, we've had enough, and we're going to stand for our Constitution. We're going to enforce the Constitution, and we ourselves are going to obey and set the example. We are going to obey the Constitution, and we're going to expect everybody else to do the same. So while I was there, Congressman Chuck Edwards was planning to attend. He had some things come up, so he sent a member of his staff. And usually, Sam, you go, oh, yeah, you know, they're sending somebody to the staff, you know.
By the way, that was my first reaction, Sheriff, right? When you said that, I'm like, oh, shoot. And you're like, no, it's good news. I'm like, what? That's exactly how the conversation went, by the way.
And I was really looking forward to meeting him. And then, you know, a few days beforehand, he had some family commitments and some other work commitments. And look, he's a United States congressman, and that's going to come up. And I want him to be busy. And coming and shaking my hand would have been nice. But he was going to, and he was going to come and speak, but he couldn't. So he sent this letter. And
along with the representative really that got up and read the letter, right? Let's be clear.
Yeah, a member of the staff got up and
read this letter.
As part of the record. And Sam, I have to tell you, I don't ever remember getting a better letter than this in my life.
Amen.
My mom couldn't have written this letter better. And she's a great writer. She was a great writer. Man, oh man, you know how your mom can talk good about you. Well, this congressman probably upped it a notch and upped the game a huge amount because this is the best letter I've ever read. And I'll read it to you guys now. Dear Constitutional Sheriff Richard Mack, first, I want to thank you. Your work in protecting our Constitution is inspirational. For years, you and your organization, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA, have been trailblazers for law enforcement officers across the country. It is the work of constitutional law enforcement officers like yourself and so many others that allows us all to sleep easier every night. We know that when those who seek to destroy our country rise, you act as a strong line of defense for the soul of our nation, for the soul of our nation, Sam. In honor, or scratch that, sorry, I honor you as a longstanding defender of our constitutionally protected rights. Your case in 1997, Mack v. United States, eliminated the background checks that were instated by the unconstitutional Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act. As a former FFL, that means federal firearm licensee, thank you for fighting for my rights and the rights of the Western North Carolina community. Unfortunately, the liberties you fought for in 1997 are still under attack today. I fight every day in Congress to ensure that our citizens keep their Second Amendment. Thank you for your support as we continue in this great ideological struggle. Finally, welcome to beautiful Western North Carolina and Cherokee County. We are honored to be home to one of your events. We hope that you enjoy our mountains as much as we do. Sincerely, Chuck Edwards, member of United States Congress. That's it.
There's the seal on your TV screen, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to be very clear. It is an incredible letter to Sheriff Richard Mack from the great congressman from North Carolina, Chuck Edwards. There's the seal. You can see it right there. Now, I want to point this out. This congressman really stood tall for liberty here, ladies and gentlemen. And you need to reach out and thank this congressman for doing so. Many don't have the guts to do so. Harry Reid called me and Richard Mack terrorists back in the day. And so all I'm telling you is that's an incredible example of real leadership. And I want sheriffs across this country to understand this. You know, he really highlighted the work that not only Sheriff Mack's doing, but the work that all of us are doing who are members of the Sheriff Mack posse. Become a member today, cspua.org. When you're a member of the posse, you're carrying out this great work. Yeah, it's led by Richard Mack, and Richard Mack certainly took a chance to beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, and that's when it all started. But now, really, it's a broadened discussion. I'm not at all decreasing Richard Mack's value or worth or dedication or success in this. I just want you to know that it's really about those who now make up the CSPOA, Sheriff. It's all of our work that's getting praised by this congressman.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And he even said that. And I'm glad he said it that way. You know, I've been accused of being too much the face of the CSPOA and that it's all about me. And I think both you and I try to make sure that it isn't. And I want it that way. I don't want it to be that it's the Sheriff Mack organization. I want it to be the sheriffs of this country. I want it to be the people's organization. The American people really will make or break what we're trying to do in achieving the return to our Constitution and that we take America back county by county. We've already seen that this is happening, Sam. You and I have personally witnessed that this is happening, and that is exactly what we want.
Well, and I'll give you proof that it's happening in the next story. Whacked out criminal governor of New Mexico. Her name is Michelle Lugan Grisham is her name. She's the New Mexico governor, and she announced a, quote, 30-day grab or ban on firearms in public areas or, quote, straight state property in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and its county. It's a move that she said was, quote, a necessary response to gun violence in the region. But critics are saying it's unconstitutional. Now, she was even asked about this, and Grisham said that she expected it to go to court, and she could not even guarantee it would stand, but she said, I want the debate to happen. Now, New Mexico gun owners, listen carefully, peacefully rallied over the weekend about this, saying how bogus this is. In open defiance of the order, sheriff and police did not intervene or enforce. Let me say that again, or enforce the order, sheriff.
No, they shouldn't. And I've been very gratified, Sam, of the leadership in Bernalillo County and the Albuquerque area. Albuquerque's not the capital of New Mexico. That would be Santa Fe. But Albuquerque is kind of like the Chicago. Chicago's not the capital. Las Vegas isn't a capital. New York City isn't a capital. But these are the main running. These are the main cities running the state. These are the business centers, the population centers, and this is where really things happen. It's Albuquerque. Albuquerque is the number one city in that area. So Bernalillo County is also
the 10th most violent city in the nation, by the way.
Yeah, yes. And so anyway, Governor Grisham comes out and says, I want to have complete gun control for 30 days. What kind of idiocy is that? You know, so she's testing the ground. And if everybody goes along, then she's going to make it permanent. And now we're having a lot of pushback by other Democrats, by attorney generals, by district attorneys, county attorneys, chief of police, and
even people
the
who say they're normally for gun control said, wait a minute, this has gone too far. The police chief is by the name of Harold Medina, and he said, quote, he will not enforce it. The sheriff, John Allen, basically said he's uneasy about it because it raises too many questions about, quote, constitutional rights. The Republicans are now calling for the impeachment of her, saying she violated her oath to New Mexico and to the nation. Sheriff, this is exactly what you and I and the CSPOA have been saying for more than a decade. They beat us up over it left and right, and we've been vindicated. I say, put that in your pipe and smoke it, my fellow Americans. Those of you who claim we don't have a clue what we're talking about, well, this police chief, he's not even elected. He's appointed. And he says, wait a minute, I'm not doing that. And so they rally over the weekend, and they simply do not enforce her order. She's been shut down. Now what we need to do is impeach her and prosecute her to the fullest extent of the law, Sheriff. She's a criminal, and she's out of control, and she's violated her oath intentionally. Okay, there's a lot of times we wonder if they even know what they're doing. Right. In this case, she says, I know it probably won't stand up in court, but who cares? I want the debate. Are you kidding me? You swore an oath.
She was hoping, Sam, to give this a little 30-day trial so that she could see if she had the support. If they had come out the opposite way, if these local officials who are all Democrats, if they had come out the opposite way, you know, this is a constitutional right of the people, but you know what, you just got to take some strong action sometimes, and this is a public emergency, and so she can declare. What did we teach her during the pandemic, Sam? We taught her, the American people, the people of New Mexico, the federal government, the president, taught her it's okay to destroy individual rights. It's okay to destroy the Constitution as long as there's an emergency. Doesn't matter if it's a gun emergency. Doesn't matter if it's a health emergency. Doesn't matter what kind of emergency is. We can suspend the Constitution. So she tried it again. And she got burned. And if I were her, I would be simply saying, you know what? I want to apologize to the people of New Mexico. I want to apologize to the people of America. I was wrong, and I won't do this again. And I am rescinding the order.
Well, she's rescinding the order and resign if she's really want to tell the truth.
Well, she's not going to resign. So that would be the best. That would be the best way to ask. Well, she could ask for forgiveness. And then say, I want to keep my job, you know.
Anyway, all I can tell you is this. When you have the police chief literally saying, I will not enforce the order. When you literally have people rallying on the weekends with their guns, and the cops say, look, we're not going to enforce this order. We just won't do it. She has been sent a clear message. It is nullify now, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what we need to do when they try to abuse your right to keep and bear arms all over the country. This is what we need to do when they say, try to, you know, you're going to wear a mask. You're going to take a shot. You're not going to go to church. We need to say the hell you say. Not happening on our watch. Now, I'm not a violent guy, but I am for this kind of appropriate civil disobedience when we stand for what is right in America, Sheriff.
Yeah, and look at what the DA said. Was it a DA or AG? I can't remember which one, but anyway.
I think the AG.
He said, this is so obviously unconstitutional. We're not going to sue over this. We're simply going to tell everyone we're not doing it. We're not going to prosecute. We're going to go after real criminals. We're not going after law-abiding citizens for carrying a gun that is already guaranteed in the New Mexico Constitution and the United States Constitution. We're Amen. Not
now,
going
the other
to
good
do it.
Piece about this, the other good news piece about this is all kinds of groups are suing left and right, including our dear friends over at Gun Owners. They've already filed a lawsuit, Sheriff.
Yes, and I expected that to happen first thing yesterday, which it already has started. And I would imagine that they're going to be asking for an emergency injunction against her. So I'm sure Second Amendment Foundation, I'm sure that Gun Owners of America, and I'm sure, I don't know if the NRA is getting going on this already, but I'm sure they are too.
Well, and what we need to do is we need to have such pushback that they realize they can never try this again in the constitutional republic known as the United States. 50 different state republics with checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this country was built on. And remember, the founding fathers were very peaceful. They didn't want to go to war with King George. They really wanted to be peaceful. But they documented in the Declaration of Independence that, you know what, once King George comes for the guns, we have no choice or we will never defend ourselves again. And that's what we're talking about right here. This is King George literally coming after the guns. Michelle Lugan Grisham, the governor of New Mexico, is really acting like King George, and she needs to be shut down like nobody's business, my fellow Americans. Now, I'm not talking violence. I'm talking about peaceful stand up and just simply nullify her psychotic, unconstitutional, lawless edict. And our backing for doing such is the Sheriff Mac win over Bill Clinton. Sheriff?
Real quickly, Sam, I know we only got a few seconds left, but I want to ask the question. If the CSPOA hadn't paved the way for this action to be taken by the chief of police and the sheriff and the AG, would this have ever happened? Other people have brought that up to me, Sam. And I think that's a huge compliment to the work that we've done. We paved the way for this to happen, and she got the brunt of it.
And we're proud to do so. If you want to get a Supreme Court case copy, CSPOA.org. If you want to join the posse, it's happening today, the webinar, CSPOA.org. God bless all of you from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. God bless all of you.